Just want to say thank you so much for allowing me to come, Dr. Anderson, and to be a stand-in for somebody you all would love to have heard, and Dr. Ryrie, and such a great man of the Lord who has helped so many people understand the scriptures. For me personally, I transitioned from a university to a Bible college between the summer of my sophomore and my junior year, and felt at that time the Lord was calling me into ministry. And so the first class that I had was with a professor who used the book Balancing the Christian Life. And in that particular book written by Charles Ryrie, there were a couple of sections in there that just leaped off the page, and I thought he wrote it for me. And a great joy for me was several years ago to come here and be part of a graduation team with Dr. Ryrie, and to be able to actually, he was sleeping in the lodge next to me, and I was on this side, and it wasn't long before the doors were open, and I was able to sit down in his room and just have conversation for quite extensively for several hours, and got to go to Shoney's with him, with Dr. A and Mrs. A, and found out he likes strawberry milkshakes. My wife loves the chocolate. But it was just a joy to be able to get to know this man of God. And then when John Rinker called and shared his situation, I count this as a high honor and a great privilege to come and to stand before you, knowing who could have been here and who is not here tonight. And so thank you for the privilege of sharing just for a few moments with you. I would like to conclude what I've been calling my meditations on Isaiah chapter 6. And I know most of you do not have your Bibles with you today, but I would say to you that there is one final thought that I would just like to bring to your attention, and you can just think through with me in your mind. You don't necessarily need to turn unless you want to, but I want to finish this up by the way that the New Testament uses Isaiah 6, because we have looked together and we have seen this tremendous chapter, as we saw last night, that the whole earth is full of his what? The whole earth is full of his glory. We say yes when it speaks of creation. We must also say yes when it speaks of circumstances, and also in the midst of catastrophe. The whole earth is full of the glory of God. And then this morning we looked a little bit more theologically at the text that God is essentially holy, verses 1 to 3. Verses 4 to 7, that man is essentially sinful. And then the last verses is that people essentially reject. And it's within this last component that the New Testament lifts out from Isaiah 6 and uses it on several occasions. And it really challenges me how the New Testament uses the Old Testament. And so let me just give you three of the places, and you can just think through them in your mind. I'm going to read from the text, because talking without the text is only a speech. So it must revolve around the text. This is the only thing that lasts. This is perfect. This is from God, the Word of God. So when I come to you, I know that you have your Bibles, but I want you to think textually with me. And as you do that, listen to these words. When Jesus begins to turn the tables on the economy of the kingdom, and now in Matthew in chapter 12, he is rejected. In fact, they are saying publicly that the miracles that Jesus is doing is sourced by who? Do you remember? Yes, Beelzebub, Satan himself. And so in Matthew in chapter 12, there is a turning that is taking place. And so chapter 13, Jesus gives these parables to explain, plural, the mysteries of the kingdom. And in the mysteries of the kingdom, he's going to go over and over with these parables to unleash material data for the disciples and for the ages to come, even for us today, on what is taking place, because the king actually is going away. And that really was not in the thinking of most of the Jews of that day. In fact, Acts chapter 1, are you now going to establish the kingdom, said the apostles? So I would say that the way Jesus frames chapter 13 begins with these words. And I want you to hear these words from the mouth of the Lord Jesus. Chapter 13, the disciples come to him in verse number 10. and say, why do you speak to us in parables? And he answered and said, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But to them, it is not given. See the play on words. To you, to them. To you, it is given. To them, it is not. To you, I give truth. To them, I withhold truth. Verse 12. And whoever has, to him shall be given, and he shall even have more in abundance. And whoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even from what he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing, see not, and hearing, hear not, neither do they understand. And this is a fulfillment of the prophecy of Isaiah, which said, by hearing ye shall hear and not understand, and seeing ye shall see and not see. And these people's heart becomes gross, waxes gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and they should understand and be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see these things which you now see and did not see them, and to hear the things you now hear and they did not hear them. Interesting that the Lord lays out in Matthew 13 using this passage of a ministry of rejection that was unfolded to Isaiah. Isaiah, you go talk to these people, they're going to see and not perceive, they're going to hear and they're never going to understand. And the first words out of Isaiah's mouth are the same words out of my mouth. How long, Lord, do I got to do this? And what did he say? Until every city is desolate. You keep doing this until I bring in the captivity. This is your ministry. It is a ministry that is stamped with the term rejection. The most amazing thing is God uses that ministry of rejection to highlight the mysteries of the kingdom. That the Son is going to die. That the Son is going to be buried and rise again, and that the Son has a plan that is far beyond anything that the people of old really could comprehend. It is now being unfolded before your eyes. Blessed are your eyes that see, and blessed are your ears that hear. So using the ministry of rejection, that the passage, which is ministry of rejection to Isaiah, Jesus uses it to turn the tables. And the way he turns the tables is this, is not everyone he's going to reject. Not all people are going to reject, because God always has his people. I'm going to do something. And this mystery of the kingdom is going to be unfolded to you. And of course, that's the book of Matthew, which is not for us to get into. It's only for us to think how Christ used Isaiah in chapter 6. So the first way Matthew is to unfold the mysteries of the kingdom, and that God has a people and not everyone is going to reject. The second way that it's used is found in John chapter 12. And in John chapter 12, Jesus' ministry, according to the chronology of John, is about to end. And so at the end of chapter 12, Jesus now is at the end of his ministry. And it's significant that in this passage, he brings out the fact that he had done many miracles before them. And John writes these words in John 12, 37. But though he had done many miracles before them, yet they did not believe on him. So that the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled. And here is chapter 53 and verse 1. When he said, Lord, who has believed our report? I love Martin Luther's translation, the German translation of this in Isaiah 53:1. Who has believed our preaching? Lord, who has believed what we've been preaching? And Jesus states this here. I've done all of these miracles, and they're not believing in Masse. They're not believing. There are some who are. We saw that in Matthew 13. But the vast majority are saying no, even to the incredible, miraculous activity of the divine Son of God. People are still saying no. And then he says, Isaiah said again, he has blinded their eyes, hardened their hearts, that they should not see with their eyes or understand with their heart and be converted, and I should heal them. And these are the things that Isaiah saw when he saw his glory. Isaiah chapter 6. So how does the New Testament use Isaiah 6, this ministry of rejection? Uses it to open as a key the future of the mysteries of the kingdom, what's going to be taking place, Matthew 13, and God has his people. It's also used by Jesus himself to describe his own ministry. And I would say to us today, men and women, as I said this morning, that if the ministry of Jesus was rejected, what do we expect? What do we expect? But that's not the final story. Because the final usage of Isaiah chapter 6 is found in the last chapter of the book of Acts. In the last chapter of the book of Acts, the Apostle Paul now makes it to Rome. And when he makes it to Rome, he is under house arrest. He calls all the Jews to meet with him. And he begins to explain to them the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as he explains the ministry to them, it's significant, this verse, verse 24, and some believe the things that were so spoken, and some believe not. So there's a division among the Jews, verse 25. And when they agreed not among themselves, they departed after Paul had spoken, and after he had spoken one word, and this is the word, well spoke the Holy Spirit by Isaiah the prophet unto our fathers, saying, go to this people, and hearing you shall hear, but never understand. Seeing you shall see, you will not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, has become obtuse. And their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have been closed, lest they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. But then he adds this verse, but, therefore, be it known unto you that the salvation of God is now sent to the Gentiles, and they will hear it. Men and women, God has had a purpose and a plan. In fact, Paul picks up on that in Romans chapter 11. And in Romans 11:11, just listen to these words as he tries to explain the Jews rejecting and the Gentiles receiving. He says this, have they, the Jews, stumbled that all should fall? God forbid, but rather through their fall, salvation will come to the Gentiles. And then in verse number 25, he makes this statement of chapter 11. For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you would be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles comes in, and then all Israel will be saved. You see, brothers and sisters, I bring this to you as the conclusion tonight because when you take Isaiah 6 and what is happening in the ministry of Isaiah, that we would look and say a ministry of rejection, this incredibly gifted man having no results. But God was using that man in a far greater way than he would ever even have understood 800 years before the Messiah is introduced to the world. You see, when John writes about Jesus coming into the world, one of the little phrases in his prologue, the first 18 verses, chapter 1, one of the little phrases that's often overlooked is that he came into a dark place as the light, and the darkness could not overpower it. That little phrase in there is verse 5 of John 1. He comes, the light comes. He is the light of the world. The light comes. The darkness faces it. But the darkness could not overpower it. So that when you take the words of John and you superimpose it over the ministry of Jesus, and the ministry of Jesus has been spoken of inceptively by Isaiah 800 years earlier, so that when Jesus comes, it looks like everyone's rejecting, but Jesus said in Matthew 13, let me tell you something, Blessed are your ears because you're hearing, and I'm going to use this small group of people to accomplish a great thing, which that's how the book of Acts opens, with the explosion of the name of Jesus across the world because of the ministry of the Spirit through these individuals. And I say to us tonight, by the time you get to the end of Acts, you see the writer lifting up this ministry of rejection, setting it down at the very end of Acts and saying to us and to all who read, saying this, listen, these people rejected, but God had a purpose. God's purpose was a great purpose. It was a powerful purpose. And this purpose is because he had a heart for the world. For the world. And so, using a ministry of rejection that at the moment seemed to be so insignificant, by the time you end Acts 28, that insignificant ministry has become very significant. Very significant. So I want to close tonight with words of Isaiah based upon how his ministry was introduced to him and what he faced for almost 60 years, and then how the New Testament saw it in a whole different light. Let me give to you Isaiah's words. And you know these words, so you don't even have to turn to them. And I'm not going to give you the chapter, but I want you to hear these words. Listen audibly as an audience of the first century that didn't have Xerox machines and everybody could do it, but there's a reader, okay? Listen to these words right at the end of the book of Isaiah. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, maketh it bring forth in bud, that it may give seed to the sower, bread to the eater, so shall my word be, that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in everything that I have sent it. For you shall go out with joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills will break forth before you into singing, and all of the trees of the fields shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come the fir tree. Instead of the briar shall come the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign. And it shall never, the name of the Lord, shall never be cut off. Amen. That's how Isaiah 55 ends. And I say to us today, men and women, wherever we find ourselves in ministry, wherever we find ourselves, it may not be, as I was talking to several people, it may not be full-time paid ministry, but you're in ministry. You're serving God. And sometimes it seems very insignificant. Sometimes it seems like, you know, who's listening? Let me tell you something. Think of the words of Isaiah 55 in connection with his own ministry of rejection, that the Word of God will accomplish everything that the sovereign one who is sitting on the throne, that is high and lifted up, and his train fills the temple, and the seraphim are crying one to another, holy, holy, holy is Yahweh Zabaoth, and the whole earth is absolutely overflowing with his glory. That one said, my word shall not return to me void. So all he needs is for you to unleash it. Amen. Just share it with somebody. Because the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords has said, my word will accomplish what I've intended it to accomplish. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow.